This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
We were lost in the middle of the video boom. We looked round, found a real show and some poop. Heard the snark in the place where I thought to spark. And I knew politics, pop culture, stupid criminals too. Now the sound of the right, we've been putting up a fight.
Tuesday, everyone, and what a glorious Tuesday it is. Possibly the greatest Tuesday in the history of Tuesdays.
Well, sadly, it's not going to be another great Tuesday because we're missing one of our compadres. It's just you and I again. Zip is AWOL.
Uh-oh. Where'd he go?
I don't know. This whole... Yeah, he told us, you know, like I thought he said a week. That was like 2 weeks ago. And now it's... whatever. It is what it is. We'll do this without him. We don't need him. Yeah, we do. But we do need him.
If he's listening now, he's yelling.
He probably is.
I don't know. I can't talk to this.
We need Zip. We can't do this without him. Because, you know, who knows more about politics than him?
Pop you culture.
We could do pop culture. Stupid criminals, that's easy. I mean, if you live in Florida, I mean, there's plenty of stupid criminals in Florida. Just open your newspaper. You can find anything.
Basically, yeah.
But anyways, welcome to the first edition of the 2022 Off the Hook Radio. I don't have the Barbara.
Where's Baba?
20. He sent it to me so that I could crop it all in, but I actually forgot until just now. I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to do that.
This is Bob Walters, and this is 2020.
Two.
Yeah, so two.
Two.
Like a
totally.
Rush.
Two.
Totally forgot about it until just now. I was like, oh shit, I don't have a 2022. But
I kind of did it for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. But yeah, it's our New Year's. It is a new year, but 2 weeks, you know, COVID was 2 weeks and now we're on year. What is it? Is this actually going to be, it'll be year three or year? No, it'll only be year two in March of COVID.
Yeah.
But still, oh my God. Anywho. So New Year's, what'd you do? Nothing.
Let's see. My neighbors came out with fireworks about 9-ish, and we did like an hour of fireworks. And go, why are you doing it now? He goes, well, we don't know if we want to stay up, you know, for stuff. Because we're tired and
we're old.
Yeah. Well, then young. So they go, right. Well, I'll stay outside. So I watched the fireworks. We did the oohs and ahs and everything, and one of them backfired that we almost got, you know, fired on. Because you know they bought one of the aerials that you put them in the tube, and they go pop, and they fly in there, and big bang. Well, it kind of like popped and the tube kind of moved and it went on an angle. Well, that's good. At least one in the air. That's good. So they did that and they go, okay, we're going to go inside. And I go, well, you know what? I'm going inside too. So I went inside. I watched a little more. The Twilight Zone marathon was on. So
That's right.
Oh my God. That Rod Serling was so far ahead of his time. It was amazing.
He's actually from not where I live, but 20 miles, 30 miles down the road. He's from, you know, that neck of the woods. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And do you know he was only like 5'4 or 5'5?
That I didn't know. Because I'll be honest with you, The Twilight Zone never did anything for me. I watched a couple of episodes here and there, not even full episodes. I've never, ever gotten into The Twilight Zone. So.
Okay. Here's your homework. You have to watch Eye of the Beholder and Enough Time at Last and To Serve Men. Those are three episodes you must watch.
Are they on Netflix? I hope they are.
They are. You could probably find them like almost somewhere. On anywhere. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're public domain by now.
I'll find them. I will do my homework. I will watch them. But yeah, I've never been a Twilight Zone fan. Never at all.
Anybody listening, if you never saw the original, not the 80s Twilight Zone, not the 2021, the 2020 reboot of it, the actual black and white Twilight Zone. Almost every single episode within the last 2 minutes of the show, there's a screwed up twisted ending that you don't see coming. And like, oh, God.
Were these like 30 minute shows?
I think there was 1, 2, 3, 5 season, all 30 minute episodes. Season 3 or season 4, they had hour long episodes.
And nothing had anything to do with the episode before. I mean, it wasn't like you had to watch episode 1 to watch. Okay.
No, it had nothing to do with all different. I think Sterling wrote about 80% of all episodes, maybe.
It's not like our dramas today where we have to start at season 1, episode 1 in order to understand what the fuck happened in season 4, episode 13. Because, you know.
Oh, wait, before we get off on Sterling. So, listen, it's about 11 o'clock, and I, you know what? There's no family down here. My brother's in Cali. So, he didn't, you know, his New Year's isn't soon. I just went to bed. I really didn't care. I'm going to wake up. It's going to be a new year. Nothing's going to change for me.
Nothing's going to change. We're still going to have Joe Biden as president. We're still going to have COVID. Nothing's going to change. So, you're right.
That was the reason for watching The Twilight Zone, because we feel like I'm in The Twilight Zone.
You're definitely in The Twilight Zone. I did watch. I have two kids. We were supposed to go bowling. We'd rented a lane for, you know, the Rock and Bowl New Year's Eve to ring it in. Okay. But my one daughter, my oldest, was, you know, symptomatic. And, of course, hit me having come off COVID a couple of weeks ago. My wife, you know, coming off COVID. Couldn't take chances, so, you know, we didn't go to New Year's. So we hooked up the Wii for the first time in like 4 years. I dug it out of a closet, hooked up the Wii, and we bowled in the living room until it was time for, you know, Ryan Seacrest to do, you know, Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, which was absolutely horrible. I swear every year these concerts for New Year's, and I've said even award shows, you haven't been on the show that long, but I used to bitch about like the award shows that, you know, the performances of these events are terrible anymore. Absolutely just downright terrible. And I don't know if it's that the performers just don't care because they're getting paid big bucks, but it's just nothing is good. I mean, I remember watching New Year's, and maybe it's just because I was younger, but I remember watching New Year's Eve performances, you know, years and years ago, and you were just in an absolute awe to watch these people up there on concert. And it was, and this is before we had surround sound, and, you know, this is when you just had your, you know, crappy old TV, but the performances were just, you know, absolutely stunning. This shit is just like thrown together. It's garbage. Most of it's commercials, and it's just terrible.
I mean, I did watch the 2020 to 2021 New Year's show, and that was, we watched the New Year's Rockin' Eve, and it was terrible. They had this old strange things going on over there. What the hell is this?
Well, the only one there was three. Yeah, there was a couple that was bouncing back. There was Ryan's, and then there was the one in Nashville. The one in Nashville actually wasn't too bad. I mean, they had some great performances. That was more like a party. But the whole New Year's Eve thing in Times Square has become so commercialized with the commercials on TV. I mean, they couldn't spend more than, you know, 4 minutes in, you know, us watching Times Square before they have to go to a commercial or be something that they're sponsoring, you know, be talking about, you know, the Powerball or whatever it was, because, you know, they had five people and one of them won, you know, the first millionaire of 2022, right, you know, given out on the show. And it's not performances. I mean, I'm there to watch performances. It's like the award shows. I've said it before too. Again, you haven't been on the show that long because we haven't really discussed award shows, but nowadays, when these award shows, everything is just about political. There's no performances. There's no awards. It's a 2 hour long. They give out four awards. There's four performances, and everything else is just people talking about political bullshit.
Yeah,
it's garbage. Absolute garbage.
I haven't seen any award show lately. At all. I mean, it's about like the Oscars. I don't even bother. I haven't watched the Oscars for, oh my God, years.
I used to get excited for them, the Country Music Awards, the American Music Awards. I used to get excited. I used to, you know, I'd live blog them, which I don't know if you know what that term means, but, you know, I'd live blog them on one of my websites back in the day. That was actually, you know, one of the sites that I live blogged American Idol. But, you know, these things were awesome. And now they're just like watching them is nobody does the ratings. I think the last time Zip and I did a story on the ratings from an award show, they were so far in the gutter. I don't even know why they bothered to do them. I mean, COVID came along and they haven't done them for a couple of years, but I'm assuming they'll eventually do them again, and they're garbage.
Oh, so when I watched the 2020 to 21 shows of New Year's, that it was in the middle of Times Square, but it was, they looked like people were just in sections with open spaces. Was it the same thing this year?
Yes, I was watching one of the TikTokers was live pretty much all day long, walking back and forth through Times Square, and they had cattle pens as usual. I'd heard it from one source that there was only going to be allowed 10,000 people in Times Square, which I don't know if that is actually what happened, because there was probably 3,000 cops by themselves, let alone, you know, the crowd. So it didn't look overly packed. It didn't look like pictures we've seen from, you know, years ago where there was two or three, you know, I guess I'm exaggerating, but a million five, you know, jam packed shoulder to shoulder. I mean, there was definitely plenty of walking room. It wasn't like, you know, what we've seen before. A lot of that's because of COVID and the rules and this and that. Everybody was masked. Now I did see one TikTok video with a pizza delivery guy that, you know, he had to get pizza all the way across the crowd. You know, there's two barricades, so they hooked a line to it and, you know, threw the line across underneath the barricades, and they pulled the pizzas across and then sent the money. It was, you know, you got to get, you know, you need to do whatever you can, but it definitely, the show, I missed it. I did catch the highlights, but I shouldn't have been watching Ryan Seacrest. I actually should have been watching the worst news station in America, CNN, that night, because Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen, the two of that, I don't think Anderson Cooper was drunk. He may have been, but Andy was most certainly drunk, and he even admitted it the next day on the radio that he was drunk. But he ranted on quite a few things. He ranted on Journey and not being Journey. Well, of course it's not Journey, but Steve Perry hasn't been with the band. And it's either 1991 or 1999. I don't remember. I think it's 1991. But, you know, Steve Perry hasn't been with the band for years. I mean, Journey hasn't been Steve Perry for forever. So, yeah, it wasn't Journey, but it was, you know, you can't go on a fucking 2-minute rant like he did and bitched because he was trashed about Journey. It was terrible. And then I do have this sound clip. He decided he was going to rant about Mayor de Blasio because it was the end of Mayor de Blasio's term. Actually, he was done at like 6 o'clock, but he decided he was going to rant on Mayor de Blasio. So we've got that sound clip.
Tell us something, Andy.
Oh, I don't know.
Watching Mayor de Blasio. Don't go on a rant.
Do his
victory
lap dance. Don't. After 4 years of the crappiest term as the mayor of New York,
that's
only thing that
York.
Democrats and Republicans can
that's
agree
how,
on
I mean,
is what a horrible mayor he has been.
Wow.
So, sayonara, sucka.
Wow.
2022.
I mean,
it's a new year. Because guess what? I have a feeling I'm going to be standing right here next year. And you know who I'm not going to be looking at? Dancing as the city comes aboard. You.
Yeah, he was a little trashed.
Oh, my God.
Just a little fucking trashed. It was so bad.
Oh.
You know, he is right, though. He was right with one thing.
Worst
Republicans
mayor.
And Democrats only used definitely the worst mayor ever. So, I mean, it was definitely funny. He just bitched and complained about everything. I'm surprised he actually has a job still, but same with Anderson Cooper. Well, yeah, New Year's.
Sound drunk.
You what?
Anderson Cooper didn't really sound drunk.
No, he didn't at that point. A little later in the night, he sounded a little more drunk. But he was trying to get Andy to shut his fucking mouth, but he didn't want to shut up. He just wanted to keep right on going, which, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever viewers they have.
Alcohol turns into you think you're the king. You can say anything.
Well, I mean, sadly, that's the truth. The problem is you shouldn't be doing it on the news network.
Well, yeah, especially when you're on the air. Like, okay, I don't care which side you're on, left or right. You just can't, like, blurt. I don't think you should blurt it out.
No, not at all. And, you know, and it's funny, too, because CNN also, not only did they have this little debacle that happened that night, but, and I don't have it in front of me, I forgot to pull the article. The interns were obviously in charge of running things that night because it was New Year's. The little ticker that runs at the bottom of the CNN screen where they were displaying people's tweets were definitely being hand selected to be crude, rude, and obnoxious. So some intern had some fun with the CNN Twitter ticker at the bottom of the screen. So
I knew I missed something.
Yeah, I didn't even think to turn over to, you know, watch that. But sadly, I watched Ryan, and, you know, there was some decent. I mean, it was decent, but it wasn't. It's not fabulous. They did replay Usher from, like, I don't know, 19. I don't even remember. But, oh, my God, how horrible was that? Just sad to watch that shit. But anyways, enough with New Year's. It is a new year, but probably nothing will change. So you told me something interesting on pre-show, and I'm a very techie guy. I think I know pretty much a little bit about a lot of the technology and shit. I'm into all kinds of different things and this and that, and I'm a security kind of guy, and
yeah,
you know, my wife drives one of these cars that has the key fob, as do most people. I'm a cheap ass. I have a piece of shit car, but most cars now have
don't you?
I have a key, a regular key that goes in the ignition and you turn it on. But, you know, most of you people that have, you know, nice cars, you have a key fob. And I mean, I guess in the back of my head, I realized that there was, you know, people that could clone these. But you actually have done some research because you just got a new car. You got a key fob. Down there, you know, car theft is rampant in Florida. And you found that people are able to clone your key fob.
Signal, yes.
Right from with the keys sitting right inside your house, like on the counter. So explain this, because this blew me away.
All right. I was searching because, you know, I got the new car. I got the 2022 Hyundai Tucson with SEL and all package and convenience and all this other fun stuff. And it comes with, you know, key fob, then, you know, remote on, you know, lock, unlock. You just have to touch the door. It unlocks. You push the button. It locks. I could open up the trunk from the key fob. I can remote start it from, like, you know, 30 feet away. Now, it seems that everybody, when they go home, they'll sometimes leave their car in the garage, the driveway, not in the garage. So your car is outside. And normally when a lot of people go in, they'll take the keys and drop it right near, you know, the door before, you know, they walk all the way in. So now you're
in
the garage. Your key fob is basically near the door, or at least in the front of the house. Seems like the new thing is they send out two people. One of the thieves have a laptop, and they stand near your car. The other thief has an antenna with a relay on it. And they go up, they got balls. They walk up to the front of your house, and they just scan the immediate area, and it intensifies the key fob signal. So no matter where it is in the front and even in the back, It picks up the signal, intensifies it, sends it to the guy with the laptop, gets all the information. They clone the signal, and they open up your car door and start it and just drive away. You're screwed. You're going to come out in the morning. There's no car. And they're going to think, I know I took my car home. Where the hell did it go?
The key fob's still sitting inside.
Your key fob's still sitting there, and you have no car. And, like, I started researching, and I go, well, maybe this is, you know, a far-fetched story. And I just typed in.
I would have thought it was. I mean, I know people can clone key fobs, but I didn't think that it was, as you know, walking right up to your front door, and while you're sleeping, they're scanning the side of your house trying to pick up your key fob that's sitting by the door. I mean, that's just amazing.
It was a mess. I just did a little research, and like hundreds of stories came up. So, well, how do you protect this? And a lot of them said you get a little pouch. It's called a Faraday bag or a Faraday pouch. And inside, there's like, it's called Faraday material. It looks like silver tin foil, really. And it lines this pouch. So you take your key fob, you put it in between the pouch, you shut it, and it's done. And it does send out the RF signal. So I went on Amazon, and I looked. And when I got it by a company called Ticon, T-I-C-O-N-N. The upgraded Faraday bag, key fob pouch, two-pack. For $12.99, so it's really not bad. So let me take a shot, see if this stupid thing works. So I get it, I come home, and I open it up, and there's two sides to the pouch. One is this, I guess, the material side, and one has the Faraday material, the silver stuff on both sides. That's where you put the key fob, because if you put it in the front without the material, it doesn't work. So I come out, I lock, remote lock the door, stick it in the pouch on the right side. Now I got the pouch in my hand. I walk up to my car, and normally on the side of my door, right on the handle, a light lights up. It didn't light up. Okay. Touched the door, nothing. Couldn't do anything. It worked. So I took the fob out. The light on the door went on. Touched the door. It opened up. Now I got in the car. So I go, okay, I'm in the car now. So I know my fob is going to work. Let me put it back in the bag. So I put it back in the bag and closed it. Hit the star button. Nothing.
Nothing.
No key found. I go, okay, this bag actually works. So that's what I'm using now. I'll just take it. I'll go to work, park the car. As soon as you get out of the car, you stick it in the bag. I know there's going to be some psychos walking around with some kind of a scanner to scan your pocket to get a your ID from the key fob. Because they're doing the same thing with your credit cards. You know, if you have a Wi-Fi credit card,
yep.
They'll just scan you and you get the card number. So I mean, you can even put your Wi-Fi credit card in this thing with your key fob.
Well, and they sell those RFID wallets as mm-hmm. RFID wallets. I have one of those because I do sadly have one of those stupid Wi-Fi cards. I don't like it, but don't convert to that. If you keep your chip card, just keep your chip card. You don't need the tap. The tap shit is bullshit because that's where you lose all your security because that's when they can clone your card.
Well, unfortunately, anytime you get a replacement card, it's probably going to be Wi-Fi.
I know. That's the problem. I've got mine sitting up there on the counter right now. I got it like 7 months ago, and my wife opened the package, the envelope, and was getting ready, and I said, no, absolutely not. Number one, it's the Wi-Fi card. We don't want it. It's not secure. Number two, our whole life is connected to the current card's expiration date and CVC number. I said, the second you cancel, you activate that card, the old card goes bye-bye. And I said, I now have to go figure out everything that's on auto pay and fix it.
That does suck. But as far as the Wi-Fi card, they sell the little sleeves, the little look like tinfoil sleeves, and they're really cheap. They're like $5 for 10. And you just slip your credit card in that and stick it in your wallet, and you're okay. Works the same way as the Faraday pouch.
And anybody should, and anytime you're in a place like Disney or at a baseball game or out in big public, I mean, there's so many people now that are doing this. I didn't know so much about the car thing, but the scanning of the pockets and trying to pick up the credit cards and this and that and everything else. I mean, it's huge. It's huge. And this is one of the easiest ways that they steal your identity. I mean, there's a lot of people I know. They don't even check their, they don't check their bank account records until their statement comes at the end of the month. And then you sign up for online banking so you can check every fucking day because you don't want to find out you wrote a check.
Right.
And your little ledger says you got, $10,000 in there. And all of a sudden someone's hacked your account or got your card. You got to check your account every single day or every couple of days and make sure that there's no fraudulent charges, especially for people who work in, big public settings that are around a lot of people.
Oh yeah. So like if you have a Wi-Fi card, just go Amazon, get a couple of those pouches. They're cheap. As a matter of fact, I think I was playing around on Wish, and it's like, all right, I'm fun. Yeah, when am I gonna get Wish? I hate Wish. So I have like $2. So it was like $1.50 for 10 or something stupid like that. So I got it from where they came like in 2 weeks. I totally forgot about them, and I'm like, okay, well, these are junky ones from wherever Wish comes from. And they work, so I got that. And then if you have a key fob with remote any kind of remote access, that lock, unlock, start the car, open the hood, or open the trunk, get one of these Faraday pouches because you just stick them in there and you don't have to worry about it. Then on YouTube, I was talking about this on pre-show also, for Toyotas, you can actually turn the key fob off to stop making it transmit. And so far I haven't seen it for any other car, but they said try it with your fob and it might work. You push the lock button, you hold it down, and at the same time you push the unlock button twice. The light will light up and the key fob is off. So you touch the door, you go anywhere near the car, it doesn't open up.
And so it's just like putting it in the Faraday pouch.
Yeah,
same idea.
Yeah. And you don't need it. And to turn it back on, you just hit unlock and it turned back on. But so far, that looks like only for Toyotas, and they haven't tried it on any other car. Tomorrow morning, I'm trying with my car, with my fob, to see what if it does anything.
Now, just keep in mind, the more fancy these key fobs get, the fucking more expensive they're going to get when you lose one. I know what these things cost.
I asked my Hyundai, whatever that thing is. Actually, called pronounced Hyundai. So I asked the guys, you know, if I needed another key fob, how much, you know, do I have to pay? He goes, don't lose it. You don't want to know. How much is that? $500 to $600. They go, it's a key fob. That's what they are. Are you serious?
Yep.
And like, I think one of the security packages that I think I tacked onto the car comes with 3 years of key fob replacement. So I know within another year, one of my key fobs, I can't find my key fob. I need another one.
Oh, yeah. We lease and we have a warranty package, too. And it's $649 for the warranty package. Yeah. And just like he said, all you got to do is lose that key fob fucking once. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do is lose that key fob once.
Like when I had my my Scion, I had a Scion XB. It came with a regular key, and I guess it was the key with the little fat head on it with the little built-in key fob. I guess they could, unlock it and do the whole thing. But you went in the car, you stuck the key in the ignition, turned it on, and it worked. But there was an RFID chip in there also.
Yes. That was the first. That was pretty much generation one of the key fobs.
Right. And like to get another one of those, they said you got the master key. To get another one of those were like $300. And I thought that was expensive. When he told me $500 to $600 for these, I go,
Yeah, these guys that run these mobile jobs that have their truck that drive around and just replace people's key fobs, they make a fucking killing. They're charging anywhere from $700 to $1,000 for a key fob because they come right to you. You establish the ownership. They get right a hold of however they got to do it. They get your codes, the whole nine yards. They reprogram you one right there on the spot and hand it to you and jack you for about $700 to $800.
Yeah, it's a little good side business.
It's a friggin' amazing side of businesses, but those guys' trailers are a huge target too.
Oh yeah,
with all because they got all the key fobs in there, the machines to program them. I wondered about that one day because I actually saw that one of the trucks rolling down the road. It was the key fob truck. I don't remember. It was a fancy name for it, and I'm thinking to myself, man, that guy's got a lot of balls to back that truck into his driveway at night and just leave it there. I said, if someone rips that trailer off or gets into that trailer, they pretty much got keys to pretty much anything they want.
Well, not really, because they're all blank keys.
Well, but he's got the software in there to program them, and I'm sure he can program keys, I would assume. He just has to he could probably program any keys. He just has to establish identity, I would think, or does he have to get authorization through, like, Toyota or Nissan? I don't know how that works.
Ownership of the car, get the VIN number, and I think, let's see, when I went through all my buttons in my car to see what it did, it did come up with some kind of a code. I don't know if that's the code you punch in, or he has to go through a whole, chain of command, who he has to get the number from.
Right, gotcha. Well, hopefully my wife never, we've luckily,
yeah,
never lost a key fob.
I mean, the car came with two. As a matter of fact, when I rented out the car before I got this new car, the car rental comes with two key fobs, but they were soldered on one ring.
Yep. I just turned the rental car in today, and it's the same way. Both key fobs soldered together. You can't take them apart. I was thinking this.
You gave me two. That's good, but aren't they supposed to be separate? He goes, don't even ask. Okay, here you go. I'm done with the car.
That is so funny that you noticed that, because I noticed that too with mine. I said the same thing. I'm like, this does me no good. Yeah. I can't keep one at home and take one with me because they're soldered together.
Right. I did take out, normally I don't. I did take out the extra insurance on the rental car. Because I just had that accident.
Right.
So, if I use the rental the insurance on that car, they go, we don't go through your insurance. Because if you could take the car and the thing can get totaled, you just come back, give us the keys, and walk away. We don't go through your insurance. We don't do anything on you. Okay, fine. And that I think included the key fob. But if you lost the key fob, there's nothing to hand back. So I don't know if they would hit you up for anything for that.
Yeah. See, now we had a family friend that used to work for a car rental agency, and not just as a part-time, you know, I mean, she worked there for like 9 years. She was the manager, and she always told us to always decline that insurance. Mm-hmm. But in your situation, it's true. You they don't go to your insurance company. If I had wrecked my rental car while I was, you know, while we had the rental car, it would have went on our insurance. My insurance would have went up, no doubt, because right. we didn't take it out. And that makes sense. In your case, you pay that extra, you know, whatever, $14.99 a day.
Yeah.
You know, you'd hand them the car. It can be in a complete pile and you just walk away from it.
Here's what's left. Here's the headlight and here's the keys. And you walk away. Okay. That's not bad.
No.
When I had the car, 1, 2, 3, I had it for 4 weeks. And for the first 2 weeks, I thought it was going to be over, but my new car didn't come in yet. So I had to take it out for another 2 weeks. So when I went in, listen, I got to extend it. He goes, okay, you want the same thing? Or you had this, you know, the insurance to hold. Well, you don't have insurance. What do you mean? They forgot to put the insurance on my first 2 weeks.
Oops.
Exactly. Whoops. I go, wait a second. So if anything goes, well, everything is, you know, I could put the insurance, you know, now, but we got to recheck the car. I mean, all right. Well, that sucks because it was supposed to be on there anyhow. And thank God nothing happened. They went outside. Yeah, it's fine. And they just put the, you know, the insurance back on.
My God, but I go, well, now could you that imagine, I,
you
know, though?
You're not going to put on, you're not going to charge me for the last 2 weeks, are you? He goes, no, we're not. Which is good.
Well, that was decent, though. I mean, at least yeah. they did that for you. Because, I mean, most of the times they'd suck it right to you.
Huh?
We did forget something at the very top of the hour.
It's not
the end. Well, it is the end of the world, to be honest. But because Ryan Seacrest got his ass chewed on Twitter for doing this exact same thing. We forgot to mention the passing of Betty White.
Oh, yeah, Betty.
Things come in threes. Zip has always said that. Lots of people I know.
Yep.
We had Harry Reid. We had Mr. Madden, Mr. Football Guy. And now we have Betty White. She was going to be 100 years old on January. It was either 14th or 17th. I don't remember. 100 years old. She was planning this big bash. She's been secluded, according to her publicist, since COVID has hit because she's old and fragile, or was old and fragile. But, yeah, Betty White, we always pick that Betty White's still kicking. It, now we can't pick anymore that Betty White's kicking.
So now all four Golden Girls are together.
Yes, they are.
So they're having their cheesecake on the kitchen table.
Did you watch the Golden Girls?
I saw a couple of episodes. They were funny. I used to like, out of all, how many episodes?
Blanche.
Nah, I like the old lady. She was so sarcastic and great.
Oh, I spent a lot of my time with my grandparents, not because of, you know, family problems. I loved going to my grandparents. They'd pick me up after school on Fridays. I'd spend the entire weekend there. And my grandma, I mean, she was, you know, very old, even then when I was a kid. They didn't do much. They would just watch TV. So it was either Golden Girls, bowling, Dallas, or Falcon Crest. So it's basically what I grew up watching was those four things. Oh, and Little House on the Prairie, too. We watched a lot of that. So
we never got
to the Prairie. I've tried to get the girls to watch a couple times, and it's awful to watch. Just awful. Yeah, sorry, Betty. And I feel like Ryan Seacrest. I waited till halfway through our show.
Yeah, but he did it. We only did it in 30 minutes. He did it for 50. So
something like that. It was like 50 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah, we did all right. So, God, I can't. Betty White.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody thought she was going to live forever.
They really did. And, you know, it's sad that she died on the day she died. I mean, it's sad to die, period. But it would have been nice to if she had just made it into 2022.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the saddest part about it is she died at 9:30 in her home, you know, on New Year's Eve. So, and it doesn't look like anything. It just looks like she died of, I guess, being old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I know. I had a couple of rumors that it was because of a booster shot, but I think they said they disproved that.
Yeah. Everything I've seen is just, you know, she was old. I mean, she was 99, old.
Jeez, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, even with the money, I mean, I guess I don't know. Maybe she wasn't totally rich, but I'm sure she was, you know, fairly wealthy. You know, even with money, you still get old.
Yeah.
Your body still shuts down. You know, shit does. You can't buy new veins and you can't. I mean, shit breaks. I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, Betty White, sadly, she's gone. All right, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you were making $400,000 a year,
I would quit my job.
Well, if you were making $400,000 a year as a CEO, top level executive, a boss, maybe not a CEO, but a boss.
Okay.
And all of a sudden you got a memo that stated that once a month for an 8-hour shift, you need to basically go down to the bottom of the totem pole, down to the grunt, down to the guy that, you know, makes minimum wage and do his job. For one day, 8 hours, you got to go do the grunt's job. What would you say to your boss? I mean, you're a boss too, but your boss had above you.
I probably would do it. I mean, it's only once a month, right?
It's only once a month. Eight hours. Shift.
Well, yeah, you get to know where everybody's at. So, yeah, you know what they're going through. You know what they have to do. And I don't know, maybe to make you more humble on your job. You know, you're higher up. Okay, I can't be a grouch to all these, you know, these people underneath me because I know what they're going through.
Oh, well, there is one.
I wouldn't be thrilled, but, you know, I would have to do it. And I would just do it, you know, for a bit.
Obviously, I wouldn't be. Well, see, I guess I'm a boss.
4,000, I mean, yeah, why not? Jeez.
I'm a boss. I mean, but I do everything that needs to be done. If a toilet needs to be plunged, the toilet needs. I mean, I don't make 400,000, but here's where I ask you this. DoorDash, they did this once before, but DoorDash under its WeDash program is now making all employees, including the CEO himself, to work 1 8-hour shift as basically the guy who drives a car and delivers food. And this, like I said, they did this once before. They're bringing it back, and it's basically like what you said. The CEO wants everybody in the company to know their customer, to know what it's like to be at the, you know, not at the bottom, but the one that's actually delivering to the final product.
Okay.
To their customer. I mean, but now we've got a whole bunch of $400,000 CEOs, or not CEOs, but, you know, SuCoats that don't want to do this. That they don't think that they should have to, you know, take 1 8-hour shift and go deliver food. They're better than that.
They want to sit on their ass and just make the money for no apparent reason.
Basically. I think more companies should do this. I mean, this goes back to a show, Undercover Billionaire. I don't know if you ever watched any of that, but it was where I think it started with Richard Branson. If I remember correctly, he was one of the first ones that did it. He went undercover at Virgin, or what's his airplane company? Virgin Galactic or some bullshit like that. I don't know, whatever his airplane company is. He went undercover as just a regular employee for like 30 days, if I remember right, or 2 weeks, whatever it was. I mean, he shaved, you know, they totally did him over, and he went to work in you know, the airline industry. And he learned what all these people were going through and saw, you know, the daily grind, like you and I see. I mean, you and I live the daily grind life. We don't live the life of a CEO. We live the daily grind life. And they went on and did this for numerous companies. Numerous CEOs signed up for this program, and they did, you know, this business, DoorDash, is going to make every single one of their employees do the grunt. And I think this is great. I think this is, it's you used the word humbling. I think it's a great way to humble your $400,000, you know, a year cappuccino, or, you know, expensive, exquisite coffee, you know, job.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with it at all.
No, not at all. But, you know, they do have an out to the program, of course. If you absolutely can't do your 8-hour shift, you can do a 8-hour community project that's associated somewhere with DoorDash. I mean, it doesn't say what, but
still okay.
You can use still, you know, but I mean, I would think here, listen, I work every day inside a kitchen making donuts. Right. If my boss were to say to me, hey, can you, you know, get in the truck and drive up north for a trip with the truck driver? Fuck yeah. Mm. It gets me out of my office. You know, you're get like, me out trip. Of what? Road. There you go. Road trip. But, you know, these guys that are making 400 grand a year, they're too good for that. And you can't have that attitude, because it's these guys at the bottom that are making it so that you can make $400,000 a year.
You can tell the higher ups that don't want to do it. Okay, well, you have to take a pay cut this month.
There you go. That's what they should do. It's absolutely what they should do. Now, you found something a couple weeks ago. You posted to Facebook. And I laughed.
Took a sip full of coffee and was choked.
And I was going to post it. And then I didn't, because I wasn't quite sure if it was true, not true. And it, I actually thought it was a joke. And I think most everybody who saw it thought it was a joke, but it is not a joke. The IRS would like to remind all thieves to claim stolen property this year on their taxes, unless, of course, you returned the stolen property this year. So,
and I thought that was a joke to try and catch thieves. And according to what you researched, it is not. It's a rule.
Yeah. It specifically says, if you steal property, you must report its fair market value in your income in the year you steal it, unless you return it to the rightful owner in the same year.
Mm-hmm. That is. Where did they come? Who have thought of that? Jeez. I still think it's a ploy to catch thieves.
Who is actually going to put anything in that box?
Yeah.
I mean, I know for years many people skated the whole, I'm not going to put anything in the cryptocurrency box. But, I mean, obviously, nowadays you can't skate that. You got to put your cryptocurrencies in and all that bullshit. But you think somebody's really going to say that they stole $100 worth of property or $1,000 worth of property or, oh, my God. But, yeah, that I laughed so hard when I saw that because I really thought it was just one of those stupid memes that was going to go around Facebook. And come to find out, it is absolutely true. So, folks, if you have stolen anything this year and you have not returned it, I'm sorry, last year because we are in 2022. If you've stolen anything last year, it did not return it. Please do the right thing and claim it on your taxes.
Now, on the other hand, okay, yeah, let's see. Well, I stole that car and that other car. I got to put down those two cars. All right, I stole these two cars. Aren't they going to come after you for stealing those two cars?
I think if you pay your taxes, they'll totally give two shits about.
See, that's what I thought it was like a joke.
I'm going to throw this story back into our admin section for our show for Zip so that he can bring his take to why they put this in there, because there's got to be a reason. I mean, because who's really going to put that they stole property? I mean, you think all these people that are raiding the California stores for $999 worth of stuff are going to go home and get their tax forms out and go, oh, yeah, I went shopping 8 times last week and stole $900. No. Nobody's going to write anything in that fucking box.
And what about when the people are burning down all the cities and going into stores and robbing all that other stuff? You know they're not going to put that down.
No. But I guess the government wants you to. So, folks, I'm not doing public service announcement. They're going to find out. So you may as well put it on there or return it. Because if you return it, you don't got to claim it.
Right.
You just put it back on the front porch. It doesn't say you got to say you stole it. Right. Just give it back. Then you don't got to claim it. You can't make this shit up. I mean, this sounds like something AOC would come up with. Or wait, hold on. We have a sound clip from our commander in chief because he's about as clueless as it is. Today, keyword, folks. Hey, today.
This year, today,
January 4th, 2022, our lovely president had this to say. It's a short clip, but today.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020. But for God's sake, please take advantage of what's available.
We don't even need to listen to anything else.
No, not at all.
You just needed the first 4 words. Our old president doesn't even know what fucking year it is. To him, it's 2020. So, you can't make this shit up anymore. You really, really can't. It just kills me.
One thing you said... for Florida people, the best way to fight hurricanes is to get vaccinated.
Yes, I've got that. I couldn't find it, but I have the clip.
So if you got vaccinated, the hurricanes will not come here.
Yep, he said that. He actually said that. That is scary. This is our commander in chief. He makes us look up. Wow. Anyways, This one was good. Found this story the other day. Watched it on TikTok, actually, because it went viral everywhere. TikTok, you know, YouTube, the whole nine. But a Tesla owner, he decided that he was going to blow up his Model S Tesla using 66 pounds of dynamite. Now, most people would say, why would you blow up a Tesla? Because I actually said to Gracie, my daughter, I said, want to see this video of a guy blowing up a Tesla? And she's like, why would you blow up a Tesla?
How much is that?
I don't know. Probably it doesn't. It actually doesn't say in the article that I have in front of me the car's value. It just says what his battery replacement was. And this whole thing stems around the fact that his battery was broken. It's a $22,000 repair. And normally this would be covered under, you know, Tesla's warranty. But he's had modifications done to his car, ones that Tesla did not approve. They were not done by Tesla. They were done unauthorized. And according to Tesla, if you open the battery compartment, you void all warranty. So Tesla was basically stating, we're not paying you $22,000. We're not going to pay for your $22,000 battery. You're going to have to pay for it yourself. And instead, this guy decided he would get a whole bunch of YouTubers together and a whole bunch of people, and they were going to film him blowing it up with 66 pounds of dynamite. And they did.
Well, 66 pounds. Yeah, that'll be a big boom.
Yes, it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely huge. But a $22,000 battery. This is the direction the left. I mean, you and I don't try to go too political, but this is the direction the left wants us to go. They want to get rid of fossil fuels. They want to get rid of gas. They want us to drive electric cars. Can you afford to replace a $22,000 battery?
Yeah.
I fucking sure can't.
Oh.
And, I mean, we were just talking about key fobs being $650, and we've got insurance, but a $22,000 battery?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, that would have to be a big-ass battery, but...
I guess I didn't...
Cars Lund.
I just didn't realize that, you know, basically the car, the battery is the car. I mean, that's, you don't, without the battery, the car is pretty much valueless.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no, Tesla isn't like a hybrid, so it's just pure electric.
In the viral video, you can see the charge racing along the detonation cord, setting off a series of blasting caps that break the windshield and loosened several of the body panels, which you actually saw. They blew out the body panels. And then after a short pause, there was a 14 hot dog-shaped charges that erupted into a blinding ball of fire, sending a massive shockwave rippling out from the car. And it was huge. It was absolutely fucking huge. I mean, there was pieces of car going everywhere. Watched it over and over again. They do have footage from drone. Look it up. It's all over TikTok. If you haven't seen it, it's there.
I'm sure they have like different angles of it also.
Oh yeah, they do with the drone. I mean, it's just amazing to see. There's like an 8-minute one that he talks about the whole thing, and they, you know, bring everybody in and set it all up. I watched the whole thing through. It was pretty cool. I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people, my daughter included, you know, oh my God, I still can't believe he blew up a Tesla. You know, the money he made from streaming that, from the viral, how viral it went.
He could have paid for his battery. He probably bought a whole new car.
He buy a whole new Tesla. So he's good to go.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely good to go.
For now, if Tesla's pure electric, if you run out of electric on the highway, what do you do? I mean,
I don't know.
Can I have a bucket full of electric, please?
I don't know. That's a really good question, and something I don't know much about with these cars. Again, wish Zip was here. How far can you go in one of these? Now, I know a little tiny bit. One of the girls at work, she had an issue with her car. She hit a deer. Her car was in the shop for like 6 weeks during our season, and she had to run a car. The only thing they had the day she went to run a car was one of those electric cars. And she could just get from her house to here, which was about 40 miles. And then she'd have to plug the sumbitch in.
Oh, wow.
And she'd drive it over by my farm stand, and she'd plug her car in and let it, you know, charge while she was here, you know, at work. And then she
was
it was not a hybrid. It was all electric. That's why she hated it, because at least if it had been the hybrid, she wouldn't have worried about the drive here. Right. You know, like she said, if there had been a car accident and I'd been stuck, you know, in the side of the road for an hour, not her in a car accident, but just stuck, you know, in traffic, she'd never be able to make it to work because she'd run out of electric unless she shut the car off.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you can go 200-300 miles with one of these things, which is now going to be a $40,000 battery, and it's going to be twice as big, twice as heavy, I don't see how electric is the wave of the future. I really don't.
I mean, electric is nice. You know, okay, you're not doing fossil fuel, but you got to charge the battery. And don't you need fossil fuel to make the power to charge the electric car?
Well, yes and no. And this is the problem. The answer to that is yes and no. It depends on where you're getting your electric from at the time. There's places that, yes, the electric will be green electric that you could be charging your car. depending on, you know, but there's places.
From?
Well, I mean, if they're
sunshine.
Well, if you're getting, say you're, I know towns, we have towns here that are fully windmill, fully okay. the entire town. They banded together. They bought windmills. They put them up. The awesome. Entire town is run by windmill, which is an awesome thing. They all pay like $15 a month for electric, and then they sell the rest back to the, you know, to the grid, and they make money with it. Now, in a case like that, you plug in a car in there, that is absolutely 100%, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you're in New York City, that's not. That's fossil fuels. Right. So the answer to your question is yes and no. That's why it's, you know, sadly it's yes and no. It depends on where you're plugging your car into.
Right.
And I think there's three or four of those places that have done this. You know, the whole town gets together and they put the windmills up. And I mean, it's, you know, an initial fee of, you know, the whole town doesn't obviously get in, but enough that, you know, that they put, it's an awesome idea.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely awesome idea.
See, a windmill down in Florida would work fine until hurricane season.
Well, then you get
blown over. And the windmills just take off.
Yeah, you guys don't have any of that down there. No windmills.
No. They can. Well, isn't there something you can do with like the Gulf Stream? You know, put like turbines in the water and have the water current turn the turbines to make electric. That might work.
You would think.
Yeah.
You know, the windmills, that was part of the problem Texas had when they had that big, huge ice storm. What was it, last year? Where, you know, the whole grid, everything broke. The problem with Texas, you know, their windmills failed, and our windmills don't fail, is because the ones in Texas, they're not built for snow. So once they got snowed on, they don't. Our windmills up here, they have heat. They have heaters on the fins. And when snow gets on them, or they get, you know, they turn on, and they burn off the water. They don't have that down there. I mean, that's, you know, another one of the reasons why their power grid failed. You guys get a little bit of ice, you don't know what to do. You do. You lived up here.
Well, yeah. But a lot of people are like, oh my God, when it rains, the highways down here get stupid.
Yeah, but you know, listen, you've lived up here.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of upstate New York you ventured through, or
it's been a while, like, but like forever.
Okay. When I have to say, yes, down there, driving with, like, on your roads are freaking awesome. Like out on the highways, they're like clearly marked, completely marked. I mean, the everything is bright, everything's fresh paint. You come up here on our roads up here, you don't even know which side of the road you're on, because there's no lines, or the lines haven't been painted down the roads in 4 years.
Yeah.
There's no white lines down the sides. I mean, I'm not talking just country roads. I'm talking, I can go up onto a major interstate here, and you have no idea what lane you're in, because there's no fucking markings.
Wow. I mean, the lanes down here are actually kind of smooth. Once in a while you get like a little rough area, but mainly they're smooth down here. And somebody's saying up north, they're all, you know, parked because of all the snow and the ice,
the salt expansion.
Yeah, and the salt.
And the salt.
And the, you know, bridge breaks it apart, and we're down here, there really isn't.
Here's an example.
Once in a while, they'll repave the road, and you thought it was smooth before. Then after they repave it, it's like, oh my God, I'm like driving on glass. It was like excellent.
When I was down to Zip's house 3 years ago, we went to, you know, to his place, and we were driving back from his place to the hotel, and it was one of your absolute, you know, monstrous thunderstorms that came down, and we drove the entire highway back in this. I mean, one of the absolute biggest downpours I've ever been in. I still was able to do 75 miles an hour. I mean, because I could see where I was, the lanes, everything's nice and, you know, painted and bright. Now, we came back from Nashville 2 years ago in the middle of the day, same type of thunderstorm. We had to pull over on the side of the road because you can't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say that the roads in there are pretty good. The drivers, on the other hand,
no one uses their turn signal. And the other thing down there, it's kind of like Long Island. This is something that Florida and Long Island have. They're really good at. They get rid of the crashes really fucking quick.
they do down here. I mean, you get a crash, you hear, like, I'm going to work, crash up on so-and-so. And by the time you actually get there, because, you know, it's the only way to really get there, it's moved over to the side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That Florida Highway Patrol, they're great at getting shit cleaned up. We used to see that when what PD was on, Live PD. They used to run with the Florida Highway Patrol. And, I mean, they'd get shit cleaned right up, lickety-split. Long Island's the same way, too, because, man, I tell you, when we drove to Long Island 2 years ago, there had to have been on the one, I don't even know which route, because I just followed GPS. I have no idea, couldn't tell you nothing. They had to have backed up for 15 miles down one of the expressways for an accident. And like an hour later, nothing. It's like, I mean, it just amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. All right, last thing I got for tonight before we say goodnight. You not now, but you have worked in the food industry, I'm assuming, over the course of your life. I work in the food industry. Another viral video has went out this week of a chef, not a chef, but a Wingstop employee. They're not chefs, they're just employees, but a Wingstop employee handling food without gloves. At the time the article I'm reading, it was shared over 200,000 times. It's quite higher now. But he was handling raw chicken without gloves. Now, something that I don't know if you knew it. I pointed it out to you on pre-show. Yeah. I don't know if you knew ahead of time. But, you know, here in New York State, it probably varies, you know, everywhere else. But in New York State, as long as the food is going to be cooked, you can handle it without gloves. You can grab those chicken wings and you can throw them up in the air. You can handle them all you want without gloves, as long as they're not cooked and as long as you wash your hands. But there was comments, because I went down and read through some of the comments, plus a lot of the articles highlighted the comments, but there was comments from chefs, five-star, you know, well, they claim they're five-star chefs, you know, five-star restaurant chefs. You know, we don't ever use gloves. You know, you'd be surprised at how many places don't use gloves. Does this kind of disgust you to think about the fact that there's restaurants that people are handling your food without wearing gloves?
Probably not, because I mean, I'm not germaphobic, first of all. So, I mean, like you said, if they're going to cook it, okay, fine. I would just worry if, like, the person that's handling the food wasn't clean. If he wasn't clean, if he was sloppy and he had old schmutz all over on him and he's handling the food. Okay, the food's going to get deep fried or whatever, but still, I don't know if I want that kind of a person handling the food. But if it's like, a regular, maybe in a higher class restaurant, it wouldn't bother me as much, as opposed to maybe
Burger King, McDonald's.
Yeah.
But the law is the same. So your five-star Michelin restaurant that doesn't use gloves to get their chicken out,
right?
That's okay. But McDonald's touches those chicken nuggets before they go in the basket without gloves, and that's not okay. Yeah. And I get it, because I work in a business that my customers get to look right through a humongous window and watch us make donuts all day long. And they have their phones up, we're on video, and one of the things I always tell my employees is you gotta always be aware that there's a camera on you. Yeah. Not our cameras, but the customer's cameras, because they take videos. And it says, all you need to do is pick your nose, and the next thing you know, you're going to be the next viral TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean, we all, that's part of our employee meeting at the beginning of the season, is I don't want to find one of you on fucking TikTok or Facebook picking your nose or doing something stupid, because the cameras are always there.
But this is,
I guess it's normal, you know. Well, it is normal, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, back in, like, see, it's weird, because back in, like, the 80s, I don't think anybody really wore gloves.
No. Hair nets, or washed their hands.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, this is back in that's back when we were still pouring chemicals, deadly chemicals, down drains. You know, we didn't give two shits.
Yeah.
You know, they used to see the cooks and diners would sit in the kitchens and smoke right over the grills cooking your burgers, and the ashes would fall right onto the grill and right onto your burgers and cheese. I mean,
which is why sometimes the flavor was a little better sometimes.
There you go. Absolutely.
That's a strange flavor, but I like it. Why? Yep. Nicotine.
We got the Marlboro burger.
That was like the same era that you would go to the park as a kid and the monkey bars, or the seesaw swing was, and the slide was on top of concrete. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, right,
you fell off the bar, you hit the ground, you wipe your ass, get up, do it again.
Yeah, now there's padding, you know, and foam, and God forbid they actually have one of those spinny things where you can launch your friends off anymore. They're like banned from every playground in America.
I hated those things.
Yeah, but it was fun to launch your friends.
Yeah, and especially with the slides, you know, you have shorts on, sit on, especially down in Florida. you sit on as a kid, I guess you have shorts on, you sit on the slide, and it's metal, and you burn your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Up in New York, okay, you burn your ass, you go, oh, that hurt. And you get up and do it again.
Yes, you did.
Yep. Down here, it's like, your mother will like watch you. No, you can't go on that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. Mom, why did we come to the damn park? Then you get a backhand across your face.
All right, well, guess what?
It's that time.
And we didn't even talk about Disney again. But we will next week because you're going there Monday. Your blackout dates are over. So
yeah. Oh, I can't wait. But I'll do a baby Disney. I'm going back to Disney on this Monday. We're going to Hollywood Studios to do Star Wars stuff. The three people that I went with, she didn't pick out a restaurant this time. So we're going to wing the restaurant. But I know we're going to Hollywood Studios.
We'll have a good time there at Hollywood Studios. And if Rick isn't too tired, we'll do a show Tuesday night. Of course, no idea if Zip will be around. I know he's got cable. I know he's got internet in his new place. He just doesn't have any furniture yet. So we'll see. Yeah, the essentials. For sure. Internet's essential. You got the most important thing, internet, so he can be with us. Anyways, if you don't have the app, download the app, Zone Out Radio. It's in the App Store for Google and for Apple. You can hear us on Tuesday nights, Zip and I on Sunday, starting in February with the Idol Radio Show. Yes, we're coming back to discuss each and every episode, tell you our favorites, hopefully interview some contestants. That's in February, Sunday, February 27th, 11 o'clock is the premiere. Download the app, Zone Out Radio, music 24/7, us two on Tuesdays, and of course, all the podcasts. Yeah, us guys.
Out here.
Right. We're going to close tonight with the only song, it's not the version from New Year's Eve, but the only song that I actually thought was any good from Sunday night, or from New Year's Eve night, which was called Next Year by Macklemore featuring Windsor. It just because it was a catchy song. I kind of liked it. The performance sucked, but the song was catchy. That's it. Have a good night. Thank you for being here.
Have a good night, people. Good night.
Next year's gonna be better than this year. Next year's gonna be better than this, 'cause New Year's Eve coming with the fresh kiss. Next year's gonna be better than this year. Next year's gonna be better than this year. Next year's gonna be better than this, 'cause New Year's Eve coming with the fresh kiss. Next year's gonna be better than
next
this.
Next year's my come up. I've been lacking, but I can feel it. It's the one. All the last 365, one sucked. Like God group texted the world and dumped us. But, you better watch my bounce back. I'ma be the man in here. Glass to the sky, like we trying to grab the chandelier. I like to take this opportunity and toast to me for being exactly who I'm supposed to be. 'Cause light is gonna do what light does. I don't wanna look back and regret who I was. Let go of the expectations, and if I won, forget the tally sheet before my time's up. And I know I gotta roll with it. I'm well aware the universe doesn't owe me shit. I know that all of this pain leads to growth. I think that next year's gonna be better than this.
I'm still an optimist, yeah. I got a lot to live on time.
Sick of missing out, sick of the fear and doubt. I'ma get spiritual soon, live in the here and now. Alone in my room, but you gon' hear me loud and clear. Let's start it at the top of the year. I want
one last cigarette, one last sip of it, one last secret, one last little bit, one last offer, one last sedative, one last supper with the devil and his relatives.
and I was gonna change my ways. I was just waiting for that day to pull myself up out of that phase. Run that route and make a play. So sick of sitting on the bench. It's finally time to get in shape and living like a scrimmage. Thinking that I get another game now. No, I ain't waiting for coach, marching band. I'ma throw a parade at my zone. Goddamn, man in the mirror finally got on. Fucking next year, the time is now to press go, and I'm gone.
Still an optimist, yeah.